Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
Where are all the gutless American wrestlers? Step in the ring with the Baron and face the brave.
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us. We got a great episode today. Our guest is Jack Victory, the man of many gimmicks over the years. We talk about some of that, his time. Jack is a great guy, great guest, fun to chat with, and that's coming up later in the show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and wherever you do listen, make sure you rate and review us and share the episodes. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, at The Dave Dynasty. Make sure you subscribe to me on YouTube at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty and support the show and go buy a shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/TheDaveDynasty. We have those new Kick Rock and Wrestling Connection Body Slam shirts out there. They're pretty cool. Go check one of those out now. Make sure you guys join the Wrestling Fans International Organization. Go to thewfia.org, and you can also join the WFIA Facebook group. Those are two separate things. Make sure you do both. While you're out there perusing the internet, make sure you also check out the Ultimate Classic Wrestling channel. You can go to classicwrestling.net or download their app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, iOS mobile, Android mobile, and much more. So go check them out. It is well worth the monthly subscription. I want to talk about, if you follow me on social media, which you should, you already know this, but Wrestling Nostalgia is now part of the WrestleCopia family of shows. So go check out all the amazing podcasts, such as the Wrestling Memory Grenade, Regional Wrestling Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with Bob Roop, the Puro Wrestling Academy, and the new Retro Wrestling Review. They're all great shows with great hosts that shine a light on wrestling history, very similar in feel and concept to Wrestling Nostalgia. It's a perfect fit for us to be on the network, partnering with them and all those other podcasts. You can go to WrestleCopia.com and look up any of the shows on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. So now let's dive into our weekly segment.
Dave Rants.
And this week I'm going back to Dave's Rants. Now I know I just did one of these, and I have some other segments I haven't debuted yet, but man, I really felt like I needed to go back to this because something is on my mind. Ric Flair was involved in an incident at the restaurant Paisano's in Gainesville, Florida. He was asked to leave the restaurant after an altercation with the kitchen manager and a rant on social media. Video footage came out that showed Flair being loud and angry. It is suspected by many that alcohol played a part. Flair denies the alcohol part and says he was wrong for losing his temper. You know, Rick, here's the thing. You say this crap, but man, Ric Flair needs to check himself. Ric Flair was one of the greatest performers in wrestling history, one of the greatest wrestlers, one of my favorites to watch during his career. But man, after his career is over, especially here recently, Rick's just tarnishing his legacy in my eyes. All this ridiculousness, with things like this that just keep coming up, right? I mean, Rick had a near-death experience. And by near-death, I mean like right there. You know, everybody thought he was gone. And it's like he didn't learn anything, right? He is just out there doing his thing. And he says alcohol wasn't part, but I ain't buying it, man. He looked and appeared drunk to me. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Flair. You hear about guys buying into the gimmick, and I know Flair always has, and it's many times has been a positive during his career. But this late age man, he should really be kind of an elder statesman of professional wrestling, and a mentor, a leader, just a great liaison to the public, because he's one of the most known names in wrestling history. But instead, he's got embarrassing headlines like this. It's not helping professional wrestling, right? It's yet again, people are going to shake their head at the business of professional wrestling because of antics like this. So I don't know, man. I hate seeing it. More and more, it makes me, I don't want to see Ric Flair anymore, right? I don't want to see the current Ric Flair because it's just tough. It's tough to watch. And the more we see this stuff being in our current mind's eye, it's harder and harder to remember the performer he was before, because this is stuff that's popping into our head and we're remembering. So, I wish he would wisen up. I wish he would calm down a little bit, change his approach to life. I do appreciate that he's, admits he was wrong for losing his temper. But I wish he would also take the next step and do whatever it takes to try to help ensure these things don't happen in the future, right? It would have been much better to see the headlines of Ric Flair at Paisano's in Gainesville, Florida, takes pictures and signs autographs for dozens of fans. And that's what we need, right? We need that kind of press from Rick, not this other stuff. So that is my rant for this episode. Come on, Rick. Just please be better. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have that interview with Jack Victory. So stick around. This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend Ike. And we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number 2, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider. All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Jack Victory. Jack, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, living in the beautiful state of Florida.
Ah, very good.
Where are you out of?
I am in North Carolina, but I actually plan within the next year to move to Florida. I have a son that lives in Pensacola. And we plan to move up there in the Panhandle area, or whatever you call it.
It's a beautiful place over there.
Yeah.
White sand. So
That's right. What we're looking for. So yeah, hopefully I'll be down there within the next year. So
nice.
North Carolina is not too bad. On its own.
No, you're still, that state's still kind of normal.
Yeah.
It has its normals and,
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little about your career. You debuted in the UWF, correct? Who trained you, or did you just kind of train on the job? How did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I am self-taught. I was born and raised in New Jersey, and right out of high school, I started. I've always had the passion to get into the business, and just really never knew how to. So I met a bunch of little groups that were running Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, and it was basically on the job training, got my first big break with Mid-South Sports, which is what you said was UWF later on. He rebranded his, it was Cowboy Bill Watts. He rebranded it and went to UWF. But my first territory was Mid-South Sports.
Yeah. How'd you get the name Jack Victory?
Believe it or not, when I was such a mark when I first started, and I was just a really huge mark for the Valiant Brothers.
Oh yeah.
So I was running around town as Jack Valiant, and had hearts on my tights, and I was just a really huge mark for them guys. And I brought that gimmick down there to Mid-South, and Bill Dundee was the booker, and he goes, first thing we have to do is get rid of that stupid name. And I said, okay, whatever you want to do, you know, you're giving me my first break. Let's, what are you thinking? And he looks at me, he goes, I'm going to call you Jack Victory, and you're going to lose every match. Oh. And people are going to be so pissed off.
I get it.
That,
all right.
That your name is Victory. I said, let's run with that. I like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack Victory's always stuck, you know.
Yeah.
I've had probably 10 to 15 gimmicks, but it always came back to, you know, being Jack Victory. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool career.
Yeah, yeah. I'm originally from Indiana, so the Valiant Brothers obviously, you know, kind of got their start there with Bruiser.
Yeah.
And big fan. Did you ever cross paths with any Valiants and tell them that story at any point in your career?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I see Jimmy all the time, and you know, I tell him I'm your fourth or fifth brother, because I know there was a lot of imitators out there, and I said, please don't. You know, when I first told him about it, he was kind of flat. You know, that's flattery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When somebody tries to copy, yeah. So.
Yeah. So early on in UWF, right? You kind of you were kind of a flag carrier for the Sheepherders. How did you get in that role? Was it kind of a to help you kind of break in, learn, you know, gradual work you into things, kind of thing? How did that come to be?
I mean, that probably came about an hour. I mean, not an hour, a year after I was actually in that territory. You know, doing learning, first, second match, you know, and that was, you know, they pulled me into the booking meeting and said, you know, we were thinking about doing this, you know, this would put you, you know, on the map, give you a nice little push with the Sheepherders. And we went with it, and, you know, we started getting into six man tags and barbed wire cage matches and all this stuff. So it was fun. It was a nice bump from opening the card to, you know, finally finishing the card, you know, with the main eventers with them guys. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And one of the things in your career that, to me at least, you're most known for, that I, when I look back, I remember was your team with John Tatum, and you guys were your manager, Missy Hyatt. You won the UWF tag titles from the Fantastics. How did you like teaming up with John Tatum? I mean, obviously that was at that time a big push for you, right? I mean, that was a big, you know, big jump.
Yeah.
And that it was, worked, man. You guys clicked, man. It was great.
Yeah, we really did click. It was an amazing Ken Mantell put us together in the first. You know, I really didn't know Johnny, didn't know Missy, and you know, we went with it, and we gelled really good. We really did gel. I actually saw Missy. We did a wrestling convention in Orlando over the weekend, and Missy came down for it. So it was good seeing her. I'm going to see Johnny next weekend. We're doing a little signing up there in Arkansas. So
yeah,
he lives in Dallas now. So I'll fly to Dallas, pick him up, and we'll go do go do something over the weekend. And I mean, I think we probably would have kept going, but a lot of people don't realize Johnny got in a really bad car accident.
Right.
You know, he almost died. You know, they had to cut him out of the trunk of the car. He was going to pass somebody, and he just didn't see the other car coming, and he had head on collision at 60 miles an hour. So, yeah. He was in really, really bad shape. And I think that's I know that's what happened. I mean, they didn't think he was going to walk, you know, let alone ever wrestle again. So that pretty much put the kibosh on that, on our tag teaming together.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to John a few times online, and I'm hoping to get him on the show. He's expressed some interest, so I'm hoping to get him on and talk to him soon as well. But
you have to catch him in a good mood.
Yeah, right. Because at first he's like, oh yeah, I'll think about it, and then I haven't heard from him for a while, so it's
right.
I'm not pushing, but I'm hoping I can catch him at some point.
Yeah. I only do two or three of these a year too, you know.
Yeah.
We get a lot of requests, and it's okay. I like doing them.
Yeah.
I don't like doing them every other week, though, you know. So
Yeah.
you actually caught me in a perfect time. So yeah.
Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. But you guys also though moved on to world class in 85. You also held the Texas tag titles three times.
Right.
You personally, you held the TV title there. At this time, and Dallas was hot. And so how did you like working there?
Well, going from Watts, people have to realize when I broke in the business, we literally did 8 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
We wrestled every day and 2 times on the weekends. So there was never any time to do anything. You were living in a car, driving from town to town. We didn't fly anywhere. We drove, you know. It was mm-hmm. 300 miles this way, 300 miles that way, 300 miles this way from town to town to town, which to this day, I still loved, you know. It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, but then we went to world class and I was like, oh my God, it's like stealing money, you know, because now we're only running 4 shows a week.
Yep.
You know, we did the Sportatorium on Friday, the Stockyards, Fort Worth on Mondays. And then every once in a while, they'll do a Saturday, Sunday, a spot show on the road. And I was like, oh, my God, this is really cool. You know, now I have half the week to myself,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was the boys were over in Dallas, in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were quite a crew.
Yeah, and they were really ahead of their time in a lot of production stuff, right? And
yes.
the look of their TV show and using some of that, you know, the camera in ring on apron. They were some of the first to do some of that. Did you notice some of that when you went to Dallas?
Not that part of it. Watching it back now, you could see it, you know, but back mm-hmm. then, you know, you were chasing women, drinking beer, you know, so
yeah, yeah.
That part of it, you know, really didn't, I didn't give a crap about, but
the cameras,
but looking back now, it was like they were way ahead of their time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of kind of a lot of new attention back on the Von Erickson world class recently. Well, obviously with the Iron Claw movie.
Yeah, did you watch that?
I did. You know what? I mean, here's my thing. Movie wise, acting wise, I thought it was a great film. I get
right.
caught up in the timeline being off and things like that. That bugs me a little bit in my head when I watch it, but it's obviously a well done movie, and I'm obviously supportive of anything mainstream.
Yeah,
putting a little attention on wrestling, but
yeah, I didn't see it yet. We did a world class panel
mm-hmm.
this weekend.
Yeah, yep.
In Florida, we had Gang, Al Perez, Brian Adidas, Missy, me, Bobby Fulton, and that subject came up a lot about the movie and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty much split down the middle. Nobody liked it that they portrayed Fritz as being a dickhead.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he really wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
He was a stern man. You know, I didn't like him making Mike wrestle where
yeah.
Mike really didn't want to wrestle. That part was kind of shitty on his part, but he just wanted his boys in the business, you know, because
yeah,
he
sure.
knew how over – that friggin' name was, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I thought it was a good film, right? And it was well yeah. acted and everything else. But again, there was, you know, it's a movie, right? They, a couple timeline things were off and they left a couple things out. That kind of bugs you when you watch.
Yeah.
If you knew about world class, right? It jumps out at you. If you didn't have any idea, I guess it wouldn't bother you, but.
Yeah, that's one thing. When I look at it, it was like I never got a phone call. So I was like, I ain't watching that crap.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Anyway, you know.
Well, so what did you think of the boys when you wrestled there in Texas? Were they you know, they had this wholesome appearance, right? But they were pretty wild behind the scenes.
Yeah, I just got there right after David died in Japan. And you know, everybody was telling me that, you know, they always thought Kevin would be the first one to go because he was just absolutely crazy,
yep.
Balls to the wall,
yeah,
crazy, bat crazy, you know. And it's so funny that he's the only one living right now.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, it was, you know, anytime they were on a card, you knew you were going to have a good payday.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, they came to these little spot shows. You prayed that they showed up. And then if they did show up, you knew you were going to get a good payoff because it was going to be standing room only, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you moved on to the Carolinas around 88. First you formed a team with Rip Morgan called the New Zealand Militia, but I want to skip ahead a little bit because one thing that's always fascinated me, and I was so caught up in the Midnight Express versus the Midnight Express, that feud that went on, the Paul Lee versus Jim Cornette thing.
Right.
And there was a match in 89, right? The big kind of was supposed to be the big blow off type match between the two. And you had to replace Dennis Condrey and team with Randy Rhoads.
Somebody pissed off Dennis and he walked out of the building. I actually wrestled that night, that same night as the Russian Assassin against Michael Hayes. And then they said, oh, you're going to wrestle in the semi-main with the with them because Dennis took off. They pissed him off or something. I don't know exactly what happened. But, I actually wrestled. That was actually my biggest payoff. Wrestling twice. Wrestling twice. Two different gimmicks. I said, I'm going to get double pay.
Yeah.
So,
well, it was so wild because, man, it was such a hot feud, right, between those two and the way it kicked off and everything. And then, and here it was, you know, the big, you know, loser leave thing and whatever. And then, you know, it's, you know, no disrespect, but it was weird. All of a sudden you're in there instead of Condrey. And it was, like, what happened here? You know, it's like, you know, as a fan watching it, you're like, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was definitely some tension there. You know, not my fault. You know, I just, I just had to fill in. I was just a fill in guy.
Yeah. Well, like you talked about, you were like the man of a million faces back in those years. You like you said, you worked as a Russian assassin, a blackmailer, a terrorist, the super destroyer. What was going on during this time, man, when you were doing so many different gimmicks and mask things?
People have to realize that back then they were called bookers, you know, they didn't have booking committees like they do now where, you know, they have script writers and all that crap. It was like, all right, let me make an example. Dusty Rhodes was the booker. So if Dusty Rhodes liked you and put you in this gimmick and wanted to give you a push doing this, and then all of a sudden he gets fired and they bring in another booker. So this booker goes, oh, I don't like that gimmick. Let's put you in this gimmick. And I'm like, shit, okay. As long as I keep getting paid, I don't give a crap what y'all put me in. So that's basically what was happening then. When I first went there, Dusty brought me in as the Russian Assassin 2.
Yeah.
That was a pretty decent run. Yeah. It could have been a lot better. But Angel, they just didn't like Angel. Angel really wasn't a worker. That's why they brought me in to do the working part of the Russian Assassins. We drew a lot of money with the Koloffs. We had some really good Russian chain matches and all that stuff. But you know,
and you're referring to Angel of Death, right? Who did the other?
Yeah,
the
Angel other of Death. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, did the other assassin.
He was the assassin, Russian assassin number one. Yeah. He was there first for a while.
Yeah, right.
And then they brought me in to be his partner. And then it just that one just went its course. They broke us up. I think they actually got rid of Angel altogether, and they kept me. And that's when I started tagging with Rip as the New Zealand Militia. Then we went to the Royal Family.
The Royal Family, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That should have been. That should have been pushed a lot more, but like I said, it was a booking conflict. The Kevin Sullivan liked it. He got fired, and somebody else came in and didn't like it. And it was WCW when TBS bought them out. It was hell. It was you just didn't know what direction the company was going, and it was a shame, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, you rotated through bookers, had booking committees, had guys coming in and off. It was so wild. And I'm pretty sure I know probably how you'll answer this, but during this time, what'd you think of Jim Herd?
Well, he was the biggest pain in the ass of all of it. You know, he had a vision of all these goofy, the doink the clown and all this crap, yeah. And
the ding dongs and all that crap.
The
yeah.
ding dongs and yeah. just just a dumbass of the wrestling, but just a CEO that wanted to be a wrestling booker, and he sucked at it.
Yep. Yeah. A pizza guy. That somehow, it was obviously he was the executive vice president of WCW from 98 to 92, 88 to 92. For those right. who may not know who he is, but obviously he's a man. It was some wild times.
He tried his ass off to ruin the business. Then I'm really surprised they had that big of a run after they bought it,
Yeah. It's like it's like he thought all wrestling fans were 10 years old or something. It was weird. It was
just really weird. He was he was looking for marketing stuff, and he came up with so many stupid gimmicks.
Absolutely, yeah. And like you said, you and Rip Morgan did the Royal Family thing with Lord Littlebrook, and everything else. And you guys end up moving on to Global, where you wrestled as the Maulers,
right?
And you did Smoky Mountain for a bit there and everything else. This was kind of a wild time for wrestling because there was a lot of startup companies, people right. bringing in some money and starting up companies and stuff. And we had, Global and all these different things that, trying to make a run. And it seemed like you popped up in some of those when they
happened. Yeah. And then I decided to take a couple of years off. And I just wanted to step back and I was burnt out. There was just so much, politics, so much bullshit behind the scenes that me and Rip looked at each other, and I'm tapping out. He's tapping out. He wanted to go back home, So I took a couple years off, and finally came back with ECW a couple years later. So that was a pretty fun run.
Yeah, well, you also did a little bit at CMLL there in Mexico, correct? As Titan, I believe.
Yeah,
it was. What was that like? Was it a wrestling?
I did not like it. I didn't like it. I'll be honest with you. A lot of guys love it, and a lot of guys hate it. And I was one of the guys that hated it. I didn't understand their wrestling style.
Yeah,
it's all different. Matches were two out of three falls, and I didn't get it. And just the living conditions, it's crazy over there, dude. It's just,
I bet
some guys, they love it. They, they go over there and they stay there. They love it. So not me.
Yeah.
Well, I tapped out early.
Yeah. Well, and like you talked about, you end up coming back to ECW, right? This is what are your most memorable runs, right? A lot of people obviously remember you for this because, the young fans and everything. You did lots of things there, but ultimately, what I always remember you from ECW is right where you managed Steve Corino and had that whole run.
I broke my knee as a shoot. I broke my knee and I was like, I'm getting too effing old for this crap. So I was like, let me step back. Me and Louis, we started doing booking, behind the scenes booking and all that stuff of cities. So that was pretty fun on the other side where you didn't have to take bumps. And then Paulie said, what about you getting together with Carino? I said, oh yeah, that would be pretty good. I mean, fantastic on the mic, great worker, and it really gelled. We had a blast with it.
Yeah. Carino, man, he accomplished quite a bit, but he's still, to me, he's very underappreciated, man. He was great. And, just at that time when, I don't know, he got kind of the tail end of ECW. I don't know, it's kind of a weird time, I guess, to be there. But, I love me some Steve Corino. Yeah, I always thought he was great. And what he did, the stuff he did with Dusty Rhodes was amazing.
Yeah. The stuff we did with Dusty, that was really that was like one of my highlights of my career because I remember as a young little teenage boy, my aunt and uncle lived in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh yeah.
And every summer I'd go down there and visit, and Florida Championship Wrestling was like the thing down there. You know what I mean? That was one hell of a territory. And they wrestled at the West Palm Beach Auditorium every Monday night. And it was just incredible. Like, front row tickets were $7. just really, you know, it was just so awesome. And, me and my cousin would we'd go there every Monday.
Oh, yeah, man, that's great. And but you were there in ECW, right up to the end. Did you ever encounter any of the pay issues with Paul Heyman that so many guys did?
Well, I mean, everybody was owed money. I mean, he would take care of me and Lou because, like I said, we were behind the scenes at the tail end of it. We were actually the guys that went on the road and got towns together and bookings and all that stuff. So he took care of us a little bit better than, you know, a couple of the guys.
Well, how did you find out ECW was closed? Did you have any heads up on it? Did you know it was coming, or were you just like everybody else of went to that final show and just like, man, that was it?
Yeah, I think everybody knew it was coming, but nobody really wanted it to come because it was such a hell of a locker room, a hell of a talent. It was a fun territory.
Yeah, I always said it was ECW was such a sign of that time, right? It couldn't have happened any other time. It was perfect for the 90s. And it just fit that decade. And then, you know, I mean, you know, and it burnt out and was gone by the 90s were gone. But it was just, like, you couldn't have done it any other time.
I think we lasted until 2001, right?
Around 2001. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just such a sign of that time, right? It was just
it had five more good years left if somebody would have fed the money there, you know, instead of, you know, Vince squashing it.
Yeah,
you know, Vince version of the ECW was the shits, you know.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah.
You knew that was when you turned on that first.
When you go corporate, things turn to shit, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, ECW was the anti-corporate thing. I mean, it was going to work. And then,
right. Yeah. You can't bring that into a corporate setting. You know,
he tried to make a few bucks off the name. I'm convinced he tried to just embarrass the brand. He was, you know,
he is a very, I don't like, not evil. He's not evil.
Vindictive. But
he wants to be the king. Absolutely. Mean, if it's not WWE, everything else is the shits, and he wants to squash him.
Yeah,
he'll buy it and squash it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. And you wrestled around a little bit for the independents, and you know, but then you end up retired. So how did you know? Like you said, you had some injuries, right? The leg thing and everything else. How did you know it was finally just time to just say, "Ah, that's it. I'm done with wrestling."
I saw the writing on the wall. I could have chased a, you know, behind the scenes type thing, you know, probably booking and stuff like that. But I just wanted to tap out, get off the road, and go back to normal life, you know. So now I'm living in Florida, Daytona Beach, and got a house. Yeah, I drive a flatbed truck now, so I'm normal. I'm opening up my Victory Driving Academy driving school in Daytona. That's coming next month, so
right.
I'm going to teach little kids how to maneuver cars. You know,
there you go. So did you have any trouble adapting to a normal life? A lot of guys have trouble coming off the road and adapting.
They do. You always miss the road. You'll always miss the road. You'll always miss the good times that you had, but it. You know that it has to end. You know, you can't live like a rock star and live, you know. So, but like you said, a lot of guys, they can't handle it. They can't handle the normalcy of a regular job, you know.
Yeah, you see a lot of them out there kind of, you know, no, I guess no disrespect, but kind of hanging on. Trying to do what they were doing in their, you know, their 20s and 30s, and it's some guys it's a little embarrassing. I won't quote names, but there are a few guys. It's like, man, it's like they don't even
it's time.
They don't even they don't even evolve into like to be an elder statesman or something. You know, a little more. It's like they're still trying to do. I don't know. I don't want to get. There's a guy in particular. I don't know that it's. I got in mind. I don't want to get sidetracked, but So when you kind of look back on your wrestling career, you know, the good, the bad, everything else, how do you, what kind of feelings and things pop into head? I mean, into your head, do you, obviously you said there's certain aspects you miss, but do you, you remember most of the good times and the positive memories more than anything?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I talked to, and a good fix for, you know, the guys are these wrestling conventions.
Sure.
Because all we do is sit around, drink beer and talk about, you know, the territory. And you remember when you did this, you remember when you did that. And you remember that crowd, so you go back and, you know, hit on the positives of the territories, like seeing the one man gang, Abdullah the Butcher was there,
yeah.
You know, Al Perez was there, Brian Adidas, who was a hell of a worker, sure. You know, and it was just, you know, Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics, he was there. And we'd always do that. You remember this, you remember that. And it's good memories.
Yeah, you kind of, I mean, you pick up like, you know, what no time's passed, right? It's just like you're right back there, you know, telling stories like
the first day that came out of Brian Adidas, he goes, "We wrestled the Cotton Bowl 37 years ago." I was like, "God damn, you're old." and I'm like, it was 37 years ago, you know? A lot of these kids that watch wrestling shit weren't even thought about, mm-hmm. You know?
Nope, that's right. Yeah, so do you have anybody in the business you still stay in pretty regular contact with that you're still close to?
Just Carino. Yeah. Carino still works at the training center for mm-hmm. For East NXT. Still one of the head trainers down there, and we talk all the time. I talk to CW Anderson a lot.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Getting married in September, so yeah. I'm mm-hmm. doing a road trip on that. So, yeah, I talked to some guys.
Yeah, I've interviewed CW. I see him quite regularly because he's here in North Carolina, works a lot of the shows in the area and everything, and see him around. So, yeah, he's a good guy. And, what do you think about Carino's kid? Have you ever seen him work? He's a pretty good talent.
Oh, he is. Yeah, Kobe's very – we actually wrestled together in Tampa. He called me up. He says, this guy, this promoter wants you to be my manager.
Oh, that's wild.
You know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Then like a week later, he goes, he changed his mind. I said, all right, I don't have to go. He goes, no. He goes, he wants you to work as my partner. I said, well, you're doing all the bumping, kid, you know. Yeah, I'm too old for this crap.
That's right. You give me that hot tag, bring me in for the finish.
Yeah. And then I find out it's this fucking backyard shit that you do it in like a junkyard. I was like, oh Jesus. You all this glass, and I was like, oh God.
That's wild.
This is my first and last. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. I always thought, you know, because Colby, I know he's the NWA does a show and everything else, and Colby's on it and everything. I always thought, man, it'd be cool to see. We see Jack back with Colby a little bit here and there. I mean, it'd be, you know, because, you know, with the connection between you and Steve and you, it'd be wild. But yeah, right. Colby's a hell of a talent, man. He's a good kid.
Well, I mean, he started when he was shitting his diapers, you know sure. what I mean? I mean, he grew up in a wrestler ring, you know?
Absolutely.
He did more tours to Japan than I did.
Yep. It's wild when you see these kids like him, there's, you know, Kerry Morton, Ricky Morton's kid, and all these things.
Yeah.
You know, that started so young, and it's like, man, carrying on and, It's crazy. It's I mean, of course, it's always been like that, right? I mean, it's a generational thing, man. It's always been.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Look at the Samoans, you know. Look at that dynasty. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's crazy. Think back, so many guys you don't even realize were second generation guys, third generation guys and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember when the twins were born in we were working in WCW and
the Usos were born
and I was like, God damn, look at these big old meaty little bastards, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And now look at them. Look at the talent, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep. Crazy. Yeah, and their brothers up there too. That's
yeah.
And they're still signing them. And I mean
now they're bringing this new kid in. He looks really good. So
yeah, it's funny.
They'll keep that going for a while. Good talent.
Yeah, out of talent. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, off of, you know, having some bad times, you know, not doing well and everything else, but it's that family just keeps on going. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's wild. I wonder how many, I mean, you've had to work with tons of those guys, right? I mean, you all the way back to Samoan SWAT team and guys like that working.
Yeah, we had a great time. Yeah, you know, they were our competition, but they really weren't our competition. You know, they were really good guys. We had some really good times on the road.
Yeah. And you talked about convention, right? You said you do, you know, do a few here and there, right? When the situation's right. And so how can people follow you and keep track when you do an appearance? Is there a way that they can check you out and know when you're there?
It's mostly with the, I'm doing the gathering, in yep. August
yep.
in North Carolina. And then, like I said, I'm starting my, driving school. So I'm going to back off from, appearances for a while. Let me try to get that thing mm-hmm. rocking and rolling. You know, that's my retirement. I want to come off the road for good and, just work around the house.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If you want to meet Jack Victor, you have to hit the gathering. It might be your last time for a while.
Yeah, it might be it for a while.
So everybody's got to get there.
It trips me out that people still come to these damn things. I mean, tons of people.
It's,
you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, wrestling's a weird thing, man. It's like people have such long memory, man. They remember these, and it's like they love, I mean, every little thing, right? I mean,
yeah,
some of these, you know, you did a Russian assassin gimmick for just a blip in the history of, and people remember that stuff. And it's wild.
Yeah. It is wild. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, all these gimmicks you did, right? I mean, I watched that show, you know, adamantly, 6:05 every Saturday night and remember them all. And, you know, the royal family, the assassin thing, you know, you with the sheep herder, it's like,
yeah.
And you always and
there'll be
that.
Guys. There'll be guys that show up to these conventions, and they'll have a picture of every one of my gimmicks.
Right,
you know, they'll be like, "Yeah, sign this as the Russian assassin. Sign this as the royal family. Sign this as this. Sign this as that." I was like, "God damn, you know my career better than I do."
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I admit, I always thought Jack. I always have said that you're an underappreciated talent. You are talented in the ring. You're talented on the mic.
I sucked at the mic, though. That was my biggest downfall.
Compared to a lot of guys nowadays, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But and then it's like you always gave me that sense of you did whatever, you know, because like I said, you did so many gimmicks. It's like whatever was asked of you, you're like, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm gonna go in there and work and get paid, and then that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, kept me going for about 20 years, you know, 20, 30 years I've been in this damn thing. So,
I mean, so many, I mean, we didn't even tell me you did a Secret Service thing. You did many things over the years. It was wild. And it's almost like a drinking game back in the day. It's like, you know, pop, you know, take a show. What's Jack Victory going to show up this time? And I don't even know how many Clash of the Champions, or you worked all kinds of Clash of the Champions because you did so many gimmicks and stuff over the years and things. And
yeah,
it's crazy. It's a, but man, you're, like I said, I think you're an underappreciated talent. You know, we just touched on a few stories here. And I wouldn't mind touching base with you again in the future, diving a little deeper, maybe on some specific stuff. I just kind of wanted to get an overview today and kind of talk.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, but it's good to touch base with you. And like I said, I'm hoping we can dive a little deeper in the future, maybe on something specific, and talk about it, because you know, I'm a big fan of Ivan Koloff. Always wanted to do kind of an Ivan Koloff tribute show, and I know you worked with Ivan a little bit,
with
the Russian stuff. So, you know, maybe have you all talk about that or whatnot.
Yeah,
so,
when you end up wrestling guys that you grew up watching, it's just really. It's really cool. You know what I mean? It's really, really cool.
I mean,
so,
talking about an underappreciated talent is Ivan Koloff. I mean,
oh my God.
Former WWF champion, but still does not get the. I mean, dude was so good.
Yeah, he was.
And for so long. I mean, all the way up through. I mean, he was just so talented. And, but I appreciate Jack. You give me time. Like I said, in the future, we'll touch base, do it again.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you reaching out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling Fans International Association is back. That's right, the premier fan club association of the 1970s and 1980s has been revived and is back in business. Join today. It's free at thewfia.org. That's thewfia.org. You can also join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/WFIA1969.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. Special thanks to Jack Victory for coming on and chatting with me. Hopefully we can do a follow-up with him again in the future. Guys, make sure you all go out and check out the WrestleCopia Network podcast. Go check out the WFIA. Go check out the Ultimate Classic Wrestling channel. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube. Make sure you follow me on X or Twitter or whatever it's called. Make sure you do all those things, guys, because it's important to be active and support these things. Next week, the episode here on Wrestling Nostalgia is going to be a very special tribute to Mitsu Arakawa in honor of what would have been his birthday on May 23rd. Helping me on this show will be Richard Vajcek, Chicago and Midwest wrestling historian, the author of the Bruiser biography. And also appearing on the show will be Mike Arakawa, Mitsu's son. So you're going to want to check that out. Mitsu's a very underappreciated talent in the history of wrestling. So join us next week as we chat about him and we get both sides, right? The professional and the personal side of Mitsu. You're not going to want to miss that. Guys, thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening, subscribing, supporting, doing all those things. Thank you so much. It is truly an honor. And until next week, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Menneker thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.